from Zechariah, the 12th chapter, from the 1st to the 5th verse. The burden of the Lord for Israel, says the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heaven and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will smite every heart with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every heart of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. I read from the first to the fifth verse of 12th chapter of Zechariah.
Amen. 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 May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. Now from the New Testament.
This is Luke 12, chapter 29 through the 34th verse. And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See that ye have and give alms, provide yourselves bags with wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen. 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 The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of the New Testament. Amen. We thank God, and today we have somewhat of a different type of topic for today. We're calling this message, Topping Off the Anti-Fear Tank. Topping Off the Anti-Fear Tank. Amen. Amen. We know that the prefix anti is used quite often, and it means not or against. Okay, for example, antifreeze is something you put in your car so that it won't freeze.
Amen.
So if we will freeze not, we would say. Amen. Instead of freezing, it won't freeze,
right,
which would do damage to your car. We have all types of things. An antidote, that's if you take a poison into your body and they administer the antidote, the poison won't kill you.
Amen.
So it's against the poison. It works against it. Amen. Even in the prostate test they do for men today, it's the prostatic specific antigen, which is showing something in your blood that shows your body is fighting something dealing with the prostate. It's a pathogen that gets into your body that causes cancer. So the antigen is the thing your body produces to stop the process, and it gives us a sign of what's going on with the prostate. These are the type of things. I'm just giving you some examples of the use of the term anti. And so we use it quite often about different things. And I didn't find a word like this in the dictionary, but it contributes to our yearly topic, which is the thing living a year without fear. We've been talking about how you can live your life free from fear. Because there's so many fearful things in the world. There's the fear of politics and what the government is doing. We have the fear of the police, whether we'll be mistreated by the police because of our race or anything of that sort. There are a lot of different fears that people have. Will we become ill? Types of things that people tend to worry about. But we want this to be, because you are in Christ, those of you who know Jesus, that you realize that you are accepted in him. Not only are you accepted in him, but you are protected by him.
Yeah.
Not only are you protected by him, but you have access to him. You can call on the Lord and he will hear your cry. That's what the scripture says. This is a privilege that the saved enjoy, and the lost don't, because they're not aware how much God loves them. And so you and I have the privilege of telling people that God loves you no matter what you're doing. You know, the devil and the flesh and the world will always cast you aside, put you down, and they do things to disseminate fear. Fear drives financial markets. This is why they make you scared that you need a particular thing to the point that you go make a purchase. That's what they want to do. TV has a big part with that. They try to drive the market by scaring you into thinking different things that aren't covered for your life, you see. And so basically what we're talking about is how can God's word bless you so that you don't have fear, that you don't go around fearful and worried about what's the next thing coming up. So much terrible stuff in the news we see, and it can be some frightful stuff. It comes pretty close. It gets close to us sometimes. And some things really happen in our lives and we don't understand exactly how we should respond. But if you're saved, this should let you see today that these kind of things have always been going on in the world. But it doesn't mean that God does not love you. You got to connect to the Lord so that you understand He loves you. Some of the stuff that's going on, He is allowing. In fact, anything that goes on, whether it be a good thing or a negative thing, God is allowing it. See, doesn't mean He thinks it's okay or that it's right. But when you understand Him, this is the thing we want you to see. When you know God loves you, and He does. You know how we can tell? Because He sent His Son, Jesus, to be crucified for you, to pay your bill entirely so that He could accept anyone. No matter who you are, no matter what your condition is in your life, God sent His Son, Jesus, to allow you to know that I love you this much. And at the same time when Jesus came, we know that we could see an ugly thing that happened to Him. You know, think about what happened when Jesus was taken out on Calvary to be crucified. Here He was, God, who was the eternal Son in the face with the Father in times past. And it had been written in the prophets that God had promised that He would send the Messiah, His Son, to come into the world to redeem the world. Now that shows you that God had a plan for you, and it's because He loves you. His love was so great, Jesus told it to Nicodemus. Most of you know this verse, probably the most popular verse in Christendom and in the world. For God, what, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now Jesus actually spoke those words. Have you ever thought about that? He hadn't been crucified yet. He had a meeting with a man named Nicodemus who came to Him by night. It says in the third chapter of the Gospel of St. John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who came to Him by night. And he came with a question. Nicodemus had some fearful thoughts, and he had some thoughts that he was wondering, what does this mean? And he came and said, good teacher, we know you are a man come from God, because no man can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him. See, he saw the work Jesus did. Jesus came and gave sight to the blind. He came and healed folks who had an infirmity in their body. He came to the man at Bethesda that lay beside the pool that had an infirmity for 38 years and healed his body and gave him back good health. He gave sight to blind Bartimaeus on the road, showing, I have even the authority over your eyeballs, every part of your body, I can fix it. He gave a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years, was doubled over in pain, could hardly take a step. He gave her back perfect health in her body. She had been like that for 12 years, the Bible says. Doubled over in pain. A young girl died at the age of 12, and somebody came and asked him to help his daughter. And Jesus said, your daughter is fine. And He spoke words over her. She got up. And He let them know, I have power over not only sickness, not only disease, but I have power over death and of the grave. And I have power over everything. And Jesus showed that before He Himself was crucified. And so Nicodemus had heard about all that. And he came and said, good teacher, he asked him, well, we know you come from God because we see the signs that you have done. And Jesus looked right into his soul and He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say it unto thee. He must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? He didn't get it. He said, he can't go back into his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel? And you don't know these things? He said, the wind listeth and you hear the sound there, but you don't know where it came from. Neither do you know where it is going. That tells us that there are things in life, you and I don't know where it came from. We don't know where it's going. You know, the wind is a mysterious thing. The weatherman can't even get it right all the time, right? You know, that's, I always say that's why they call it the forecast, because the first three guesses could be wrong, but I'm going to give you a forecast, you know what I'm saying. And, but Jesus knew everything. You know why? Because he made it all. And so he told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so Nicodemus, later on in his life, he got it. He didn't get it right then, but by the time Jesus was crucified, he got it. He understood what God was saying. And what we hope as the church today is that you trust what God said. We want you to know, no matter where you are in life, no matter what struggles you have, no matter what you're dealing with, God loves you. Now somebody else might, your neighbor might not love you. A friend or a co-worker might not love you. There might be somebody that a significant other who failed me, with this being around Valentine's, we might as well mention that, you know, who might not have done what he was supposed to do or what she was supposed to do, but God loves you. That's what we want you to see. And you must know that in the bottom of your heart. God loves you. He made a way for you. He covered for you, and now he didn't cover part of what you need. The scripture says he covered it all. Now, when you get the truth, as we talked about last week, we talked about the fact that when you have anxiety, that the truth trumps anxiety. See, anyway, we hate to use that word trump. We have to be careful with that now, the way it is in the world. But let's say the truth overtakes anxiety, and it gives you peace. So what we're doing today, we're going to top off the anti-fear tank, like you have a tank where you put in what it is that makes you resistant to fear. And so we want to talk about that just a little. So this is what I want to say. I'm not going to be with you long. I want you to know that all these different things going on in the world are all heading for a particular point that God has already identified. His word tells us exactly what's on the horizon, which is about to happen. And so, since we have inside information, those of us who know Christ and have trusted in Jesus and believe that God is raising from the dead, the Bible says, you shall be saved. Now, God's got to deal with a lot of other stuff that's going on by people who don't believe him. So that's the thing you need to understand. So I'm going to try to top off your anti-fear tank here today with a little more information and truth that I believe will bless you if you just think about it. So God's going to deal with the people. It would be a good thing. God would be happy if everybody believed in him. But you know what? That's not so. A lot of people don't believe in God. There always have been throughout the ages of mankind. There have been a division in the world, people who believe God and people who don't. And so a lot of the people who don't happen to be in powerful positions in the world. So do you and I need to fear because these people are in powerful positions in the world? And the answer is no. You don't have to fear. You know why? Because God is greater than whatever, whoever that is.
Amen.
He is above them.
Amen.
But throughout history, he has allowed his people to be influenced by the unbelievers. He has allowed you to coexist with the unbelievers. They put out a bumper sticker talking about coexist. And trying to say all things are equal. That's not true. There are two ways you can believe. You can trust God and believe he sent his son Jesus Christ. Or you believe something else. And whatever else that is, I don't care what the devil calls it, it cannot help you. Because only one person got up out of the grave and proved that I have power over death. And that's what excites me, is the fact that Jesus rose out of the grave. He is the only one that's credible for me to listen to, that has power even over death and the grave. So I don't have to worry about that. You know what? That's the thing that scares people the most, is the fear of death. But once you get past that and you understand God has dealt with the problem of death. How did he do it? He took on a body of flesh just like you and I have, a similar body to what you and I have. Philippians 2 says, let this mind, verse 5, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and was sound in fashion as of a man. In other words, he looked like everyday average Joe. But he came in order to do a work to satisfy God, which was to pay the penalty for all of our sins.
Yeah.
Whoever believes in him, your sin will not be charged to your account.
Yeah.
You know what? It got cast on Jesus. When he was crucified, your sin was punished.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in him, that's God's deal. It's the best deal on earth.
Yeah.
That's why you hear me preaching. I'm going to be preaching even as long as I can keep my breath. I'm going to be preaching. As long as God lets me be here. But I want everybody to know that God loves you just like you are. You don't have to be scared of anything.
Amen.
If you got fearful stuff in your life, take it to God in prayer.
Yes.
You can talk to God and get God will hear what you have to say.
Yes.
God will connect with you and help you through the ordeals you're dealing with. But now I'm going to go back to what I originally said. A lot of people don't believe God. That's the problem. But you know what? It's not God's intention that they should be destroyed. So God deals with people. Let's put it this way. Let's say he has a long fuse before he blows. He's giving people time because he would like to save everybody. He's giving me and you time to tell everybody that he sent his son, that he loved you, that Jesus died for you to pay your sin debt, got up out the grave to show you he is the only one that has the authority to do that. And if you trust him, you will not perish. You'll have everlasting life. And God was showing the love that he has for you. At the same time, he was showing you how ugly people who don't believe can act.
Yeah.
That's pretty ugly. God comes in the flesh, and what do? Find him guilty and nail him to a tree.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty ugly. That's as ugly as it comes. The living God took on flesh, came into the world in order to do something good for man. Everything Jesus did was good.
Yeah.
He asked him, which of you convicts me of sin? What you got on me? You know what? If I asked that boy, I would have a world of trouble. Probably 49 people coming up saying, hey, you did this, you did that.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus asked and no one could say a word. The room was silent among high religious leaders. They were trying to think up something. They tried to come up with something. What can we accuse him of? How can we catch him in his words? They were trying to do something to bring him down because they thought that he was against them. But you know what? He wasn't against them. He loved them. He loves you no matter what you're dealing with in life. You know what? We are the most accepting of faith because we're the only faith of any faith in the world. Other people say there are other faiths, but we believe that what Jesus said. He said there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Amen.
See, we believe it because he is the only one got out the grave. No other so-called religious figure has ever defeated the grave. And so he is the only one with that credential. It's 2017 because it's been that many years since Jesus was born. It's not true of any other so-called religious leader in the world and any that will ever be. Except one. There's one coming who's going to trickle out of people. You know what his name is? The Antichrist. The Antichrist is coming. He is the one who tries to get into place to show himself to the world that he is God. And he is going to deceive many. Because when he comes, he's going to show signs and wonders so as to that even the very elect might have been saved, lost at least, if it were possible, the word says. But he comes against Christ and instead of Christ. So you and I need to have our tank of anti-fear filled.
Amen.
With the knowledge of God. So I just wanted to give you a glimpse of a couple of things from Scripture today to show you that God is right on target with the things that he says and the things that he promises.
Yeah.
This is why you can trust Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and you can go away without any fear. Now, you know, fear can be a seasonal thing. Sometimes it comes up on you suddenly, and you may have to stop and think about where you are before you can suppress it. But that's okay. That's all right. But let's look at what the Lord said. Speaking through Zechariah the prophet here in chapter 12, it says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. Now, Israel were the chosen people of God. God caused them to be in existence by giving fertility to Abraham and Sarah, who had not had any before. And so we explain this all the time for some of you who are coming into the middle of the study. We talk about Israel because they are the selected people God called them to be. And so he wrote the word and gave the Bible to the world through the Israelites. It says here, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. which stretcheth forth the heavens. What Lord is that? The one who created the heavens, then that layeth the foundation of the earth, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And not only that, but he formeth the spirit of man within him. God is the one said, let us make man in our image. And after our likeness, you and I are made in the image and the likeness of God. The Most High God, he did that. And this is the one who speaks through Zechariah. Verse number 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, and when they shall be in the cities, both against Judah and Jerusalem, and in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. Why is Israel in the focal point of the news? We talk about this all the time. Because God has them there. They're the smallest little speck of real estate on the planet, but God has reserved it for himself. And right now, Jesus had prophesied in 70, before 70 AD, actually before he was crucified, he said that Jerusalem shall be trodden under the feet of Gentiles. And that means other people who are not Jews, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Right now, we know that's true, because ever since they rejected Christ and crucified him, the Temple Mount, the temple was destroyed, taken apart stone by stone, and there have been Gentiles in that area ever since. Right now, today, they're still there. Jesus said that would happen. And so we know it's true. So this is where the Antichrist is going to come and unify Israel back as a nation and make them think he is the Messiah instead of Jesus, who already has come. So that's what the significance of the Antichrist is. He is a fake Jesus, if you will. He is coming. But you and I know, so we shouldn't be fearful. We know Jesus already came, and God has predicted already that Antichrist will come. So my tank for anti-fear is filling up. Because I'm not going to believe a false Christ when he comes. And you shouldn't either. And it won't be long. How do you know? Because he says, all the people of the earth shall be gathered against Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be a cup of trembling. Everybody is concerned right now in the news about what is going on in Jerusalem. You wonder why you hear about Jerusalem and Israel all the time in the news? Because God has made it a famous place. And he is also going to send Jesus back to rule the world from Israel before it's all done. A false leader who is called Antichrist will rise up and deceive a lot of people in the world, everyone who does not know the truth, by the time that happens. And so this is what Zechariah preaches about here. Now notice this next verse. In that day, he says here, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, that's the southern kingdom of Israel, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah, that's the rulers and leadership in the land of Israel, shall say in their hearts, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. So in other words, Israel will turn back to God. And they will believe, but a whole lot of people in the world will be deceived by Antichrist. So you and I need to be prepared by having our anti-fear tank topped up, if you will. So that's why we do this. This is why we picked this subject for this year. You don't have to worry, because God loves you. So we learn from the prophecies of God that he is all-knowing, and that even when he predicts devastation and calamity because of unbelievers, and when situations of extreme turmoil are involved, God always has a bright silver lining within every situation of darkness for his elected people. If you're his elected people, there's a bright shining lining in every dark cloud that comes about. So within every situation of darkness, his elected people, therefore, them and them only those who believe, can pour a little more faith, hope, and love into their anti-fear tank. This is true of the world and of the word of the whole Word of God. All of the Word of God is good, and if you understand and believe it, it will bless you at all times. Even if the message is dark, there can be a dark message. You know what? If you trust Christ, don't worry about it. Because he told you, I'm going to have to deal with people, and he told you how he was going to do it. Now, this is what Jesus said. The same thing was true when he was here and he was training the 12 disciples. Luke 12:29 says, Jesus spoke to his disciples, and seek not ye that which he said, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Don't doubt anything, because I already told you ahead of time what's going to come down. For all these things do the nations of the world, as Gentiles, seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So God knows everything you need. He loves you in spite of what has gone on in your life, no matter where you are, what sphere of life you're in. He loves you right now. And he knows what you need. He said, don't worry about it. I got you covered. We can put it in modern language, because everybody else that doesn't know me, that's what they're worried about. But this is what you do, verse 20, 31 in Luke 12. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. God says, I'm going to give you everything you need. And he says, sell what you have. In other words, you can use the stuff I've given you lavishly and give alms and provide yourself with bags that wax not old. In other words, they don't wear out or get old. A treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth does corrupt. So if you use your life to give glory to God, God promises you blessings even in heaven and even now on earth. So in the days of Zechariah, as in many other periods of the first 28 generations from Abraham to King David, and from David until Israel was about to be taken captive into Gentile territories under the tyranny of hostile, godless rulers, the words of God spoken through the prophets were always for the purpose of proving God's sovereignty over all things. That's why the prophets tell you the bad side and the good side. But more importantly, to provide an internal sense of comfort to the people whom he had chosen, so that they could spiritually top off the anti-fear tank and endure no matter what or how out of sync things became. So no matter how bad it gets, God is telling you, so you know already. When you start seeing it going downhill, guess what? We already know. We got the news. We believe it. We trust God. So he's going to carry us through like he did his people in every generation. The Jews, basically, the ones who believed, they were able to go through whatever it was that God was doing to shake up the ones who didn't believe. And so that's the thing we need to understand. So in times of difficult trouble, and during the first advent of Jesus, when he first came, in other words, Israel had been tossed to and fro for 14 generations. They were in Gentile dominion when Jesus was born, roughly 2,000 years ago. And they had suffered under, as a nation, under the domination of many hostile nations. They've been under the Greeks, the Romans, all kinds of people had dominated them. The Medo-Persians, they had been taken into captivity by Syria, all the countries around Israel, by the time Jesus came. And they were under Roman dominion when Jesus was born. And so basically this provoked Jesus to speak to his little flock, he called the 12 who he had called, telling them, fear not, because it is your Father's good pleasure to give them the kingdom. That's what he told them. And he had come to give his life to seal the deal. That's the reason why Jesus came, the first advent. He came to give his life to seal the deal, but he had told his believers that were following him, fear not, little flock. You see that?
Yeah.
In Luke 12 and 32, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, so God loves you. Don't fear when you see difficult things going on in the world. You see a lot of political and social uprising and all of that, but don't worry about it, because God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. See, and he's going to have to shake some things up in this country too. We're not really exempt. I think America might be at the top of the one who's done the most damage to the truth. We have the most craziness going on, and the reason why, this country was blessed with more technology than any country in the history of mankind. The telephone, radio, TV, all of that originated here. We were given that great blessing because we were a God-fearing country at one time. Now the biggest thing America exports, which is greater than Microsoft, we can start naming companies, Google, name some big companies, any of them you name, you know what the biggest one is that tops all of them in sales every year? Pornography. Pornography sells more than all of the big corporations in the world. It's an awful thing. Most of it originates from here.
which is a sad thing. God blessed us with those types of technology to spread his word, is what I believe, to spread the good news around the world.
Amen.
And what do? We go from bad to worse, go right down the drain. Mm-hmm. Drugs and all that type of thing infecting people's mind. Young people today have a casual attitude about drugs. But drugs are very critical, and they can do great devastation to your life.
Okay.
But I know, because I had a problem myself when I was a young person.
Okay,
see, and it took a lot of stuff for God to turn me around, and it took trouble in my life for me to ever get straight. So I would like to save some of the young people from the trouble.
Yes, Lord.
You can just, people make it seem like it's casual. Oh, we're going to legalize marijuana. Okay. Well, you're going to send a whole lot of people down the tubes.
That's right.
Because marijuana is going to turn them into dope addicts eventually.
That's right.
It's not a casual thing. It's an awful thing.
Yes, it is.
See, and you know what? And we're just busy legalizing everything that we think that we want to. They're legalizing prostitution. They're trying to reduce the age of sexual accountability lower and lower to get children stuck into sexual crimes and sin.
Yeah.
All of this kind of stuff goes on in this country. It's supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. But we're far from that. We've fallen far from it. And it's time we wake up. We got to wake up. Don't close a deaf ear to it and act like it doesn't happen. It does. And we are, as a country, we're accountable.
That's right.
But you don't have to worry about it if you're saved.
Yeah.
If you're saved, God can get you off of dope.
Yeah.
He can stop you and get you, bring you out of a life of prostitution or any kind of a sin like that.
Yes.
Homosexuality, he can get you out of it. He can fix your problem.
Yeah.
People want to act like, oh, it's just an alternate lifestyle today. Well, it may be, but God is not happy with it.
No, he isn't.
God didn't ordain it. He said that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one man and one woman equals one family. The two become one flesh. It says he made them male and female. He created them. See, we don't bash anybody because we know these types of things are difficult to get out of. But it's not impossible. If you trust in the Lord, as the Bible says, with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. He'll show you how to come out of anything you're stuck on that's not right.
Yes, he will.
And he loves you that much.
Yes, he does.
And you know what? Everybody in the room, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but let's just say many in the room have been in problems and difficulties of this type. And God has brought many of us out. Some of us may be on the road. We're not out all the way, but we know which direction we're going to get out.
Amen.
And we're heading in the right direction.
Amen.
Even stuff like financial bondage. There's so many different things that could really hold you back. But you know what? God wants to bless you and make you prosper. We don't have a health, wealth, and prosperity, and that's all. We talk about it all.
Amen.
You know, but God is the one who is the possessor of all things. He loves you. He wants to make your life count.
Yeah.
He wants you to be strong in the land. He wants you to have the biggest and most clear voice of any of the people in the world so that you can share the message, the good news, to the ones who are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
See, but God really loves you. I want you to know that. That's one thing I cannot say too much. And if you're here today and you feel compelled to trust in God, we want to give you that opportunity. I'm going to ask everyone who is able to stand at this time, and let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we know that this country is in grave danger, Father. We have even been swept into some of the things that happen here, Lord God, because we're weak in our flesh. But we ask you today, God, forgive us, cleanse us, help us, Father, to be the men and women that you're calling us to be.
Yes, Lord.
Father, give us the strength and the spiritual fortitude to stand up, oh God, and say what is true. You said the truth would make us free. Help us today, Lord, that we come trusting in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. You configured the world around him. It's 2017 because he was born 2017 years ago. And so today, Father, we come trusting in him, believing on him, that you raised him out of the grave, you allowed him to be crucified for our sin, in order for us to have eternal life, which is a relationship with you that starts immediately whenever we trust in the name of Jesus Christ and believe that you raised him from the dead. Father, help us today. We need you today, God. We need you to bless whoever in the room is calling on you out of their heart right now, Lord. Bless them with salvation and guide them through the rest of their life from this point forward. Be with them and comfort them, Father. Help us not to look on sin lightly, God, but to see it for what it really is. is a way of destruction, and you have freed us from it. You give us the grace to move on without it. And so, Father, we thank you today in the name of Jesus. Bless every mind and every heart that's praying right now, Father, to receive your Son as Lord and Savior. And Father, we need him. Help us to walk with him. Lead us and guide us. Let goodness and mercy follow us, oh God, all the days of our lives. And we'll be careful to give all the honor, the praise, and the glory to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is worthy. Prepare us, Lord, for the things that the nations are doing. They don't look too good, Father, and they give us a tendency to be concerned. But we know that your government is greater. You said that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall rule and reign forever and ever. And Father, to that we say amen. And we thank you today, God. Bless somebody in the room, God. Somebody just needs a touch from your spirit in order to continue on, Father. Even the young people, give them understanding of the message, Father, so that they know that you have loved them and that they are very important in your sight. And that you would like to guide them and lead them through the rest of their days. We ask it in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ. To him be glory and majesty and dominion and power. And the church said together, amen. Amen. Give God a big praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for that, Lord.
Amen. One other thing we'd like to do before we dismiss, we always like to give an opportunity to any of you who would like to make your membership with St. Timothy. We open the doors to you. And our purpose is to teach you what the Word says, give you opportunities to learn and fellowship, and also to connect with people in the world. We teach you how to do that. So if you're here today and you'd like to be a member of this church, we want to give you that opportunity at this time to come forward. Come forward. All right, whoever wants to accept the Lord, amen.
All right. I'm going to ask you all to sit right over here next to Sister Dee. She'll take some information from you.
The Bible says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. We thank God for everyone. We're happy to see they came. They actually got to their mom to bring them in today because they wanted to be here to worship with us. Amen. So we thank God for that for them. Amen. She'll get your information. Would there be any others? Is there anyone else who would like to come forward? Just come forward, whoever you are. All right, this is your day. Come on right now. Don't be ashamed. Come on forward if you'd like to come, anybody, whosoever you are. Amen. All right, amen. We have done as God commands, and we see that there are some, and we thank God for them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we hope you did get a good word from the message today. Amen, and it will be a